Welcome back to the Scored Sports Podcast. On the host of this podcast, Lane Frank, we're now on episode 150. Guess we're 150 episodes through, we're going to get an action-packed episode planned for you. This is the last episode of the year. What a great 2023 it's been for sports and Scored Sports. Thank you all followers. Thank you everything going on in the sports world. Right now, we're going to get into all that this episode. College ball playoff, you're going to hear my picks. Signing day, we're going to break that down. NFL, a lot of great stuff there. NBA and MLB. Hop into it. Great. Episode 150. Let's start off episode 150, how we always do, with the headlines in the NBA. First thing I want to talk about in the NBA right here is Victor Wembanyama, the number one draft pick sensation that everybody always loves to talk about. Well, the Spurs only have four wins, but Wembanyama is on a complete double-double tear, having one of the best double-double streaks, really, in rookie history. They become close to NBA history. Victor Wembanyama averaging a double-double, having a bunch per game, look like one of the best rookies we've seen in a while. It's going to be a great race versus Chet Holmgren of the Oklahoma City Thunder for that rookie of the year. Detroit Pistons, though, they have nobody winning any awards except the worst team of all time, maybe. 2-24 in the season. Two of those wins came in the first three games of the season. They're playing terrible. Monty Williams is coaching terrible. Cade Cunningham is playing terrible. Azor Thompson is playing okay, but nobody's going to talk about that. That's what I'm thinking right here with the Detroit Pistons. How are they going to finish the season? Are they going to get more than just these two wins? We'll have to wait and see. That's my thoughts on the Detroit Pistons right there. John Morant gets his homecoming back to the NBA on the Memphis Grizzlies. Suspended the first 25 games of the season, as we all know. Makes his first game back. 7 points at halftime. Everybody's saying, oh, Ja, he's rusty. He's this, he's that. Finishes with 34 and a buzzer beater game winner. What a game. Ja Morant, we love to see it. Great debut for the Grizzlies. They need it, everybody. Grizzlies are struggling. We're going to talk about it later in the episode. Grizzlies are struggling. Ja Morant giving them that spark that they need. Los Angeles Clippers, they're on a roll right now. The beginning of the season, when they got James Harden, everybody was saying, this trade has been terrible. They've lost five straight games. They're not going to win anything with Harden. There's not more than one basketball on the court. Now what are you going to say? They've won eight straight games. Russell Westbrook is playing as selfless as ever. Kawhi Leonard is playing great basketball. Paul George is playing great basketball. And James Harden is playing James Harden amazing type of basketball. So what are they going to say now? Looks like a top five team in the NBA. Record doesn't show it, but they are. Clippers on a roll. More to the NFL. Great week we had over there. Thursday night football. The Raiders sent Brandon Staley and Tom Telesco into unemployment after that night. 63-21. Brandon Staley, head coach, and Tom Telesco, GM of the Chargers, fired after that abysmal performance. Your defensive head coach going up against Aiden O'Connell or rookie quarterback when your defense has guys like Khalil Mack, Derwin James, and you give up 63 points. 6-3. The Las Vegas Raiders and Aiden O'Connell. I don't get it. Great win for the Raiders right there. Cincinnati Bengals, they play on Saturday. Great game that was. 17-0 comeback in that fourth quarter. Jake Browning played great. Haven't seen Jake Browning play that well since his days over at Washington. So Jake Browning and the Bengals, great comeback win. They got in overtime. Indianapolis Colts, they shut down Pittsburgh Steelers. They're playing great football. They're 8-6 with Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew, this is not Anthony Richardson team. This is not Anthony Richardson getting this team to 6-6, 7-6, whatever it might be. No, Gardner Minshew is grabbing all these major wins. That's what I like to see right there. That's what I like to see from Shane Steichen, rookie head coach. Now, Gardner Minshew is not the future for Indianapolis Colts, but he can be the future somewhere else. Gardner Minshew, the Colts, great win, positioning themselves for the playoffs. Detroit Lions, shut down all the rumors that they're not tough enough, they're not good enough, that they're going to choke the rest of the season, they're not going to win another game. They said, huh? We're not going to win 10 games? We're not going to win 10 games. Yeah, they shut all that down. Great win, destroying Denver Broncos. Love to see it right there. Cleveland Browns, they got another great win over Chicago Bears. Got a little tricky then. Darnell Mooney could call Hail Mary. Had a bad first half. Joe Flacco turned on in the second half. Joe Flacco played some great football. Like to see it. Browns over the Bears. Buccaneers, this was my biggest upset pick last week. I said Buccaneers over the Packers. Well, Baker Mayfield, perfect passer rating. Looking like Oklahoma. Baker Mayfield, love to see it. Houston Texans, CJ Stroud, didn't play in this one. They didn't get the win right there. So, Texans struggling a little bit. Look at the Miami Dolphins right here. Great win they had over the New York Jets. 30-0. Love to see it. Jets out of playoff contention now. Will not have Aaron Rodgers play another game this season. Dolphins 30-0. For the Kansas City Chiefs, they got a good win, but they're still struggling. Bailey Zappi was 16 of 18 that first half for New England. Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes throws another interception, up to 13 on the season. Chiefs, not going to win a playoff game at this rate, in my opinion. Panthers, playing well. Got a great win over the Atlanta Falcons. 2-12, but it's a win. Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers get a win, kind of removing Atlanta Falcons from that NFC South playoff contention for the moment. Desmond Ridder doesn't look great, but for Bryce Young, you get a win. I don't care if you put up 9 points. It's a win. A win is a win when you're a rookie quarterback in the NFL. Panthers got that done right there. Buffalo Bills, they need a big win badly. Have had a few great games this season. They've had chances to get big wins. They got against the Chiefs, couldn't get it against the Eagles. And now they're hitting their stride at the right time. Great win, destroying Dallas Cowboys. James Cook looking like he's coming into his own as a Pro Bowler for the season. Baltimore Ravens took down Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday Night Football. People love to say Lamar Jackson doesn't put up great stats, so the Ravens aren't that good. He doesn't have to. This defense is so good, and this offensive line, these receivers, whoever it might be, they are so good to where they can put themselves in a position to where they don't have to stat pad. They don't have to run up the score all game because they're going to get a good field position because of that defense. They're going to make the right plays in special teams. They're going to make the right plays all across the field, and I'm looking forward to that battle with the San Francisco 49ers this weekend. Going to be a great game. Game of the year, in my opinion. Pick that next in Scored Sports NFL Game Day. Seahawks, Drew Luck gets the best win of his career as starting quarterback over the 10-3 Eagles, now 10-4 Eagles. Great game by Drew Lock, keeping the Seahawks in the playoff hunt. They look great. Jack Smith and Jigba look great. The defense look great. That's what you want to see. A great win at home, Monday Night Football, showing your fans we can compete with the top in the league. That's a playoff run right there. If you place Eagles in the playoff, Seahawks might be favored. It's a great run right there. If you're playing a top seed like the Eagles, like the Cowboys, like the 49ers, whoever it might be, that shows the fans some encouragement right there. Love to see it. Drew Lock, fourth career game-winning touchdown drive. May not seem like it, but Drew Lock is clutch. Everybody, sports MLB. Great week we've had on the hot stove. Shinobu Yamamoto, still undecided on where he's going to go. Will be the Yankees, will be the Mets. Jung-Ho Lee from Korea signed with the San Francisco Giants. Tyler Glasnow heading over to Los Angeles Dodgers in a trade and signing a 5-year extension. Close out our headlines. Got a little college basketball to go over with you. Providence upset Marquette the other night. This is important to me because Marquette, 6th-ranked team in the nation. Providence, a team that lost their head coach. Ed Cooley went to Georgetown this offseason, so everybody expected Providence to take a major step back. No, one loss in the season, they're rolling right now. Purdue, number one team in the country, yet again, after upsetting then number one, Arizona. Great win that was for them. UCLA loses their longest streak in the country for home wins to Cal State Northridge. Of all teams to lose at home against two, they lost to Cal State Northridge. Hate to see it, Mick Cronin. Hate to see it, UCLA. Those are our headlines. Now, Squared Sports NFL Game Day, everybody. Let's hop into it. Great slate of games this week. Let's hop into it. Ravens versus the 49ers. We're starting out big this year. We're going with the best game of the year. First off, right here. Ravens, 49ers. You got Lamar Jackson, you got Keaton Mitchell out for the season, but they still have Gus Edwards. They've got great receiving core, Odell Beckham Jr., Zay Flowers, Nelson Aguilar. Great O-line, and the defense led by their coordinator, Mike McDonald, Roquan Smith, Patrick Queen, also great players on that defense. Now, look at the 49ers side of things. They're elite. They are unstoppable. Brock Purdy, MVP. Running back Christian McCaffrey could also be MVP. Trent Williams, most valuable, but might not win MVP. Playing great so far on the offensive line. This defense is elite. Deebo Samuel is playing great, and they do everything right. It seems like when you play them, you can't stop them because they will hit that big play on you. They will do that big thing to you. They will get that turnover. They have every single position locked down in the NFL. They have a great quarterback core, considered the best. Travarius Ward doesn't get the respect he deserves. He says he's a top three corner. I don't doubt it right there. He has the most pass breakups in the NFL and had 2 picks. Last Sunday, you got look at the safeties. Jamie Ward, great safety. Look at the defensive line. Eric Armstead, a few other great players. Chase Young and Nick Bosa. Linebackers, Dre Greenlaw, great linebacker. Everything on this team. Even kicker, Jake Moody. So I'm not picking the Ravens in this one. I think the 49ers are the best NFL team that I've seen in a while, everybody. They're playing great. 3 losses on the season. Niners get a win over the Ravens. Proof they're the best team in the NFL. Bengals versus the Steelers. This can be going right here. Jake Browning versus Mason Rudolph. Got a little college quarterback stardom duo right here. Mason Rudolph was a stud at Oklahoma State, and Jake Browning, great player at Washington. But let's go with the Bengals in this one. They get a great win. Now, the Thursday night football game, Saints versus the Rams. We go with the Rams in this one. Kyren Williams playing great. Matthew Stafford looking like vintage Matthew Stafford. They get a win over the Saints. Derek Carr, give me a good one. Let's go with the Rams. Colts versus the Falcons. I'm not a big fan of the Falcons. I love what the Colts are doing with Gardner Minshew. They improved to 9-6 in the season. Seahawks versus the Titans. Seahawks, love to talk about them, how they played last week. Drew Lock, hopefully, gets a nod in this one because Geno Smith is a good quarterback. He doesn't deserve to get benched. But what you saw from Drew Lock, that was great right there. He's clutch. They get a win over the Tennessee Titans. I don't love what Derrick Henry's done this season. I don't think Will Levis has shown much outside that first game he's had and the Dolphins game. So it's good to the Seahawks over Titans. Vikings versus the Lions. Lions, no debate right here. Vikings have quarterback issues. They're just not good at that position. Jaren Hall, not good. Joshua Dobbs, not good. Nick Mullins, definitely not good. Browns, Texans, Joe Flacco. Let's ride, everybody. Browns for the Texans. Jaguars, Buccaneers. Again, Baker Mayfield. Let's ride. They improve. 8-7, I think it'll be after this one. And then Jaguars drop to 8-7. Baker Mayfield has been playing great, everybody, the past few weeks. He's playing like a franchise quarterback. I want to see that again this week over Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Cowboys, Dolphins. Great game. Cowboys look to bounce back. Dolphins look to keep it going. I'm going to go with the Cowboys to bounce back. Deron Bland, this corner core, locks down Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, a few other receivers. Defense, linebackers, Cowboys, Dan Quinn has a great game plan. Stop this greatest show on turf, whatever you want to call them, Miami Dolphins. Elite speed offense. Cowboys offense does well too. Dolphins don't win this one. Let's go with the Cowboys. And the last game of the week, Raiders, Chiefs. I'm very tempted to pick Las Vegas in this one. Aiden O'Connell played great last week. Long rest. Great week they had. Thursday night football. Gets a rest. Chiefs didn't play great up in New England. But they need a win. They need a win to show their fans, to show the rest of the NFL, we're still here. We're not dropping the six losses. They get it. Chiefs over the Raiders. That's about it. Squared Sports NFL Game Day. Now, it's been a great year in sports, everybody. It's been an elite year in sports. It's been a top year in sports, 2023. So I want to give you, to close out 2023, as this is the last episode of the year, my top five sports moments of the year. Let's hop into it. Number five, the Final Four being so unique. Not having one seed, two seed, three seed, or four seed in the Final Four. Now, UConn eventually took down San Diego State. UConn, a five seed. San Diego State, a five seed. FAU, also in that Final Four. I think they were a seven seed. And Miami, also in that Final Four. I think they were a six seed. Unique, no one seeds. UConn took it home. Best team in college basketball. That's number five. Some people like to call it boring. I like to call it entertaining. That's five. Parody in college basketball. Final Four being unique. Number four, the Wimbledon final we had this year between Carlos Alcaraz and Novak Djokovic. I like to call Wimbledon the most prestigious tournament in all of tennis, maybe in all of sports. It's elite to watch the Summer Classic. I love it. It was a great five-set finish. Carlos Alcaraz took down Novak Djokovic. That's number four. Number three, Deion Sanders and the way he has transcended sports, everybody. I got my Prime glasses right here, the official Prime glasses. You can see a little Prime on the side. Where is it? Over here. Yeah, Deion Sanders, Prime. What a way he's transcended college football this year. Put these on for a second. Transcended college football. Got the number one offensive lineman in the country this year. Jordan Seaton got the number one player in the country. Travis Hunter played offense and defense. Say what you want. He only had four wins. He transcended college football. He got everybody watching him. That's what I love right there. It was a great moment to see Deion Sanders taking over the college football world. That's number three. Take off these Prime glasses for a minute. Number two, LeBron James breaking the all-time scoring record of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Great way to do it, even though they lost that game. Number two, LeBron James breaking the all-time scoring record. And number one, Lionel Messi, the greatest soccer player of all time, going over to the MLS, changing the way people view soccer in America. That's about for my top five sports moments of 2023. Leave your top five sports moments 2023 in the comments. Now, did you know, this week's Do You Know, it's a great one. Did you know, Western Kentucky has had three different starting quarterbacks in their last three bowl games, and they've all thrown for over 380 yards and four touchdowns. Great stuff right there. First one to do it was Bailey Zappe. Now they had a guy this week do it who's in the transfer portal, came off the bench and they were down 28-0, and won it for them in overtime, throwing for 380 yards and four touchdowns. Austin Reed, also did it last year. Western Kentucky, quarterback, monster factory. Love to see it. That's about my Did You Know this week. Now, my spotlight for the week. Before I bring in what my spot of the week is, let's talk about what college football is becoming right now. It's becoming transfer portal market where it doesn't matter where you sign on National Signing Day because it might not even mean where you're going to play. Today is National Signing Day for college football, and number one recruit in the nation, Jeremiah Smith, is playing games all day, ended up signing with Ohio State, and he still hasn't sent in his letter of intent. But does it really matter? Is he really going to be at Ohio State in 1 year when he goes into the transfer portal and gets a massive deal? Is it really going to matter when all these guys do that? When Dante Moore decommits from Oregon after being committed there for 6 months to go to UCLA, then goes to UCLA for 1 year, just transfer to Oregon 1 year later? Is that really what we're doing in this college football world? But the main team that does all these things wrong in college football that doesn't know how to develop, that doesn't know how to recruit well anymore, is USC and Lincoln Riley. Is he really the home run hire? Is he really the elite head coach that we all thought? Well, let's talk about it in Lincoln Riley's years as a head coach. 2017, that's a Bob Stoops team right there. That was in 2016. Has a quarterback, Baker Mayfield, that everyone likes to say Lincoln Riley made. Well, Baker Mayfield had played college football for about 10 years before he got to Lincoln Riley. And they didn't even win a playoff game that year. Could have been put on Lincoln Riley. Terrible defense and offense decision makings in that overtime and ended game against Georgia. 2018, they're in that playoff. They have Kyler Murray, who also was pretty much made before he went to Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma because he was at Texas A&M. He was the number one player in the country in high school. They transferred to Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma. So I can't really say Lincoln Riley developed Kyler Murray. Whatever. They get absolutely smacked in the playoff on Lincoln Riley for not recruiting defensive players. 2019, he has Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is a made product. He had over 20 wins as starting quarterback in college football before he went to Lincoln Riley, and they get smoked in the playoff because of poor offensive and defensive decision-making. Can't recruit on defense. 2020, they don't make the playoffs. Spencer Rattler does nothing. They win your Sixth Bowl, but Spencer Rattler doesn't look like he's going to be good from Lincoln Riley. But hey, it's the first time Lincoln Riley doesn't have a transfer starting format quarterback, and he was pretty terrible, Spencer Rattler. 2021, Spencer Rattler gets rolled out there again, does terrible. They roll Caleb Williams out there great from day one. But they don't make the playoff because of poor decision-making late in the season by Lincoln Riley. Now, 2022, he leaves Oklahoma and goes to USC because he wants to get top talent. He wants to be able to recruit on defense. He says, nobody wants to come play defense in the Big 12. I need to go to a better school to get a better defense. Let's bring Alex Grinch, the worst coordinator of all time, with me to USC. So he does that. And Alex Grinch has been terrible at USC. That's why he got fired this season. That's why USC won 7-5. Lincoln Riley had something, right? He got those top recruits. He got Corey Foreman. He got DeMonte Jackson. Both were top five recruits in that 2022 cycle. Both of them, not this USC program anymore. But he's got a fallback plan. He's got other defensive recruits coming in. No, they're transferring too. They're decommitting also because of what they saw this season. But he's got the number one player in the country, Maha Nelson. Maha Nelson was recruited to Oklahoma originally, committed to Oklahoma originally to play for Lincoln Riley. This guy was ranked above Dante Moore, ranked above Arch Manning, ranked above Nico Iamaleva in that 2023 class. So he's the future of USC football, the future of college football. Ends up transferring. What are we seeing now? Are we seeing a pattern? Can Lincoln Riley develop quarterbacks? I'm asking this question now. Everyone likes to call Lincoln Riley the GOAT of quarterback developing. Have we really seen it? Caleb Williams shot in there day one, and he's been great. But it always seems like there's something missing that he can take that next step and be that national championship quarterback. Now with that defense that USC has, you want to develop a quarterback? Get better people around him. Mario Williams, five-star wide receiver, also transferring out of USC. Everybody's transferring out of USC. They have so many transfers now. They're 7-5. It's a cliff, everybody. It started in 2017. After that loss to Georgia, bad loss. They're falling off that cliff each and every year. 7-5 for Lincoln Riley. What's going to happen now? Maha Nelson was elite. You're replacing with Will Howard? Will Howard. Obsessing right here to see Lincoln Riley, who everybody loves to rave about. I'm not so sure about it anymore. Like I said, every time he's had a good quarterback, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, they're transfers. Spencer Rattler didn't transfer. He wasn't great at Oklahoma. He got developed there for a few years. Caleb Williams developed at Oklahoma and USC under Lincoln Riley, and he won the Heisman, but he couldn't win a national championship or make the playoff. That's all I'm saying right there. 7-5 in the season for USC. That's my spotlight for the week. Leave it down in the comments. It's going to explode, everybody. Each and every year, they're going to fall off that cliff until eventually Lincoln Riley's out of a job, and you all think I'm right. I'm not saying Lincoln Riley can't develop a quarterback. I'm just saying, from what we've seen, maybe the hype has been a little too much. That's about for my spotlight. Still more to come on Scored Sports with Lane Frank. Last episode of the year, 150. Now, College Buzz showcase the last of the year. We're going to be picking some playoff games right here. Michigan versus Alabama and Washington versus Texas. The best four teams of college football going at it New Year's Day. Michigan versus Alabama in the Rose Bowl. That's going to be instant classic right there. Not going to give my pick yet. Hint. I think y'all know who I'm picking that one, but we're going to break it down still. And Washington, Texas, out in the Sugar Bowl. Going to be a great game. We're going to see who meets each other in the national championship. But before that, let's talk about some signing day stuff going to college football. Today was the early national signing day period. We've had some great things happen on signing day the past few years. Jacob Copeland, just go look up that video. Travis Hunter, flipping from Florida State to Jackson State, being monumental, being the first number one recruit ever to go to an FCS program. Now over at Colorado, a superstar in college football. And today, we've had some things happen. Jeremiah Smith, number one recruit in the nation, staying with Ohio State. But is he? As of right now, still has not sent in that letter of intent. Has about 3 hours to do so. That'll be interesting right there. See what happens. Will he flip to Florida State? Will he flip to Miami? Or does he have to wait and see? Might know by the time this episode's out. But it's been a great signing day of college football. After I just ranted on Lincoln Riley for the transfer portal, what he's done there, while his guys are transferring out, well, where will some of those guys land? DeMai Jackson, top recruit, coming out of high school, and Corey Foreman, also a top recruit, coming out of high school. See those guys land. Dante Moore commit to Oregon. They'll have Dylan Gabriel and Dante Moore next season. The rich get even richer. Oregon at quarterback. Love to see it. And now, it's time to pick the college football playoff, everybody. Michigan versus Alabama. The Rose Bowl will be picked after Washington versus Texas. Washington versus Texas, let's break it down. You got the great quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. on one side. You got Quinn Ewers on the other side at quarterback. He's pretty good too. Great running game for Washington. Dylan Johnson, great running back, had 256 yards versus USC. But for Texas, they've got more of a balanced approach. You got Cedric Baxter. You got Keelan Robinson. I think since Jonathan Brooks has gone down, they've even improved a little bit. Jonathan Brooks is a great running back. It's a terrible hit. But the other running backs are stepping up in a great way for Texas right now. Now, Texas and Alabama could very well meet in the national championship game. And that'd be a rematch of what we saw earlier this season. That could be exciting. Michigan could play Washington. That'd be a rematch we're going to see next season because Michigan has Washington on their schedule. And Michigan also has Texas on their schedule. So if Alabama wins and they play Texas, that's great right there. You get a rematch. And then Michigan wins, they're guaranteed a rematch next season. But let's get back to Washington, Texas. Let's talk about the receivers. Texas, Xavier Worthy, great receiver. Outside of that, A.D. Mitchell, good receiver. Has had a great cabin playoff at Georgia. Now he's over at Texas. But for Washington, this receiving core is elite. Robo Dudes, Jalen McMillan, even more guys on that receiving core. Just great. Offensive line for Washington, really good. Defense, good enough. Get games won. For Texas' defense, they're elite. You got T'Vondre Sweat, best defensive lineman in the country, and some other guys up there. Special teams, even good for Texas. Burt Auburn, one of the most consistent kickers in the country. Head coaches for both teams, Kalen DeBoer, second year head coach over at Washington, and Steve Sarkisian is third season over at Texas. They're both in the playoff. Great accomplishment for the two head coaches. It's going to be a great game. But what's going to come down to is, can these teams create pressure on the quarterback? If you get pressure on Michael Penix Jr., good things are going to happen for your team. And if you can get pressure on Quinn Ewers, good things are going to happen for your team. I see Texas getting pressure on Michael Penix Jr. If you watch Michael Penix Jr. over at quarterback, he's got a great arm. He's got elite talent around him. He's got good running ability. But you look at his footwork, some of the worst in the country. As a fellow lefty myself, he's a good lefty quarterback, but I don't think he gets a job done versus Texas. I like Texas, the Longhorns, riding it home to the national championship game in Houston. Going to have a great crowd there. Texas advances to the national championship in a great thriller, 44-38 over Washington. Now, next game, Michigan versus Alabama, the Rose Bowl. It's going to be a great one. JJ McCarthy going against Jalen Milroe, Jim Harbaugh, Nick Saban. Receivers of Michigan going up against the defense of Alabama. Alabama's receivers going up against Michigan's defense. Michigan, best defense in the country. Alabama, great offense. Jalen Milroe, most mobile quarterback in the nation. They've improved so much over the season from losing to Texas and being tied with South Florida in the fourth quarter. Now, where they are, it's elite. When you look at Alabama in the past few years, what has won the national championships? Elite running backs. Derrick Henry, Scarborough, A few other guys that have just been great for them. Najee Harris, Damian Harris, great running backs. I look at Alabama this year, I don't see that elite running back. I see Jace McMillan, who's a good running back. I see Rodarius Williams, a good running back, but I don't see eliteness. I don't see someone that Kenny Grant or Mason Grant from Michigan won't be able to stop. Junior Colson, elite linebacker from Michigan too. Watch out for him. Mike Sanders still, best safety in the country, most versatile player in the country, you can call him. He can play receiver, he can play safety, he can play whatever you want him to play. JJ McCarthy, they don't love to throw the ball much for JJ, but if you let him throw the ball, which they've done a lot of times this season, even before the Penn State game, because since the Penn State game, he's been banged up, he's been injured, and he hasn't thrown the ball much. But before that, there was a point in time where he was the Heisman favorite after that Michigan State game, which is interesting to think about right there when you love to hate on JJ McCarthy, everybody in the country. Now, a big thing for Michigan right here that can hurt them is their receiving core. Rhema Wilson, you call him the only good receiver on Michigan. I like to disagree, but okay. Call him the only good receiver on Michigan in that 2021 Orange Bowl against Georgia, that playoff game. Rhema Wilson, I think, was one of the only Michigan receivers to have a catch in that game of above 10 yards. Tight ends got involved, but Rhema Wilson is the only receiver. So this is another SEC game, first time playing an SEC team since then. Rhema Wilson, great wide receiver. Let's see how he does against Kool-Aid McKinstry. But say you remove him from that game. Where's that leave Michigan? They've got great tight ends. They love to use the tight ends. So I don't think that can be a concern for Michigan if you remove Rhema Wilson and their receivers, because you still have a great running game, a great offensive line, and you have those amazing tight ends that can block for you too and catch some great passes in Colson Loveland and A.J. Barner. So at the end of the day, after my long, long analysis of this game, I'm going to go with the Michigan Wolverines over the Alabama Crimson Tide. I think Michigan gets enough pressure on Jalen Milroe. I think they stop that running game. I think they score enough points to take down the Crimson Tide and advance to the national championship game versus Texas. Go Blue! Love to see it. That's about my playoff prediction. That's about the College Football Showcase. See you next year. We're going to pick Michigan, Texas national championship. Let's hope. Now, for the new listeners and video watchers of Scored Sports, we've got Hold'em or Fold'em. I'm going to tell you if I'm going to hold these NFL quarterbacks, if these teams should hold on to these NFL guys, or if they should fold them, get rid of them, turn them loose. But a little bit of a twist this time. It's more if the NFL deserves to hold them or flip them. Maybe they get another job, because we've seen a bunch of guys in the NFL here start at quarterback that haven't started ever in their career, that were career backups, and now we're playing. It's the year of the backups, everybody. I'm going to tell you if these guys deserve to stay in the league or not from what I've seen. Baker Mayfield, getting his shot with Tampa Bay, kind of a prove it year for him. Last hurrah, long shot for Baker Mayfield. Definitely deserves to stay in the NFL. Love Baker Mayfield. Love the perfect passer rating last week. Franchise quarterback, Baker Mayfield, I say yes. Zach Wilson, it's a tough one right here. Would I keep Zach Wilson as a starting quarterback in the NFL next year? Is he a top 32 quarterback in the NFL? I say no. I truly say no. He has so many weapons in New York. He has a good enough offensive line, and he can't get it done. You lose 30-0. You have a concussion, but still. You lose 30-0 against the Miami Dolphins. You're too injury-prone. From what you've shown in your 3 years in the NFL, it's not franchise quarterback material. It's maybe career backup material, but it's not franchise quarterback material. Now, for his other New York quarterback, Tommy DeVito, a little guy we've seen this year, lost New Orleans Saints on Sunday, kind of throwing out all his chances of maybe being the New York Giants franchise quarterback one day. Now, I'd love to see Tommy DeVito as a franchise quarterback for the New York Giants one day, because that's just the perfect storyline, but I don't see that happening. But I do see Tommy DeVito proving his shot this season, as he's done, to be a career-long backup. Be a Chad Henne, be whoever it might be. Be a Matt Moore, be a career-long backup. That's what I envision for Tommy DeVito. Sam Howell. Here's what I like to talk about Sam Howell right here. He's the guy who everybody sees their first game and is like, whoa, this guy's amazing. And then you get into it and you're like, oh, that's not a good game right there. Oh, that's another bad game. Oh, you're not great at all. That's what I see from Sam Howell. 2019, freshman year, North Carolina. Whoo, great first game against South Carolina. Whoo, great second game against Miami. Rest of the season, okay, not so great. But hey, it's his freshman season. The next year, 2020, great season. Leads North Carolina to the Orange Bowl. They lose that Orange Bowl, but still, great season. Now you're in 2021. A year where you can be the number one overall draft pick, prove all your chances in college football. First game of the year, lose to Virginia Tech. Oh, that's not great. Then you end up with a really bad season, and they declare for the draft. Sam Howell, this season, has started out great. Had some few great games against the Eagles, a few other great games. When you look at it, ugh, terrible game against the Rams. That's not really the offensive line's fault, is it? No. Yes, you're on pace to be sacked the most in NFL history, but in that Rams game, wasn't really his fault. Only getting 100 yards of offense for about 10 drives when Jacoby Brissett can come in and do it for 2 drives. So Sam Howell, I say I really don't know what to do with him, because you've seen enough of him, in my opinion. He can be that elite gunslinger. He can get you 400 yards a game every 8 weeks. season, and then the next 7 weeks of the season, it's going to be terrible. So that's the Sam Howell experience right there. Jake Browning, yes, this is something I never understood. Why did Jake Browning not get a shot out of college? He was a four-year starter. He had great years every year. He made it to a New Year's Six Bowl three times. He made it to the playoff twice. I don't get why Jake Browning was not an elite draft pick, whatever it might have been. I don't get why he was undrafted, Jake Browning, but whatever. He went to Minnesota, got cut three times, played his start against Minnesota, absolutely torched them. Jake Browning can be a backup in this league, can be a starter in this league, whatever it might be. I'm loving what I'm seeing from Jake Browning right now. Bengals have their quarterback situation. They have Burrow for as many years as it might be. But other teams may look at Jake Browning and be, huh, maybe that could be a Taylor Heineke. Maybe that could be a Geno Smith. Let's look at him, Jake Browning. Joe Flacco, yes. From what I've seen from Joe Flacco this year, yes. What does he do for you that is different from Deshaun Watson? Not so much. Now, Joe Flacco is not going to be your franchise guy, but if you want to draft a quarterback, if you're going to draft Drake May, if you're going to draft the Caleb Williams, I want Joe Flacco in my quarterback room to help them out. Gardner Minshew, here's where it comes interesting, because he's a better Sam Howell, in my opinion. Let's call Sam Howell the discounted version of Gardner Minshew, because they play the same gunslinger, but Gardner Minshew just does it better, everybody. And then Gardner Minshew can be the discount version of Matthew Stafford, also elite gunslinger. But Gardner Minshew has shown every year in the NFL that he can win you football games. When he was in the Eagles, when Jalen Hurts would go down, Gardner Minshew could play well enough. When he was in the Jaguars, won enough games, didn't get that job over Trevor Lawrence, sadly, but still, won enough games for them in his first two seasons. And now in Indianapolis, he's playing great. Gardner Minshew deserves to be a starting quarterback in this league. I truly believe that. Gardner Minshew, yes. Aiden O'Connell, I know he just put up 63 points in Thursday Night Football, but I'm going to say no. I say career backup at best for Aiden O'Connell. I'm sorry. Drew Lock. Here's where it comes interesting. Drew Lock fits into that gunslinger portfolio, but he can be elite quarterback for you at sometimes. You look at Drew Lock, whew, great career at Missouri. Then you look at him at the Broncos, really good rookie year. Look at some games where he's like, oh, this guy's a superstar, he's an all-pro. And that's some games where you think, oh, he's not even an NFL quarterback. But can he show that all-pro more than that, not an NFL quarterback? Can he find a happy medium there? That's what I'm looking for in Drew Lock. I think he found that happy medium on Monday Night Football. It was exciting to see, everybody. A great win over a great team in the NFL. Drew Lock, like I said, he's clutch. He has four game-winning career touchdown drives, something some guys in the NFL can't say. I don't know if Jalen Hurts has four career game-winning touchdown drives. I don't know if Josh Allen has four career game-winning touchdown drives. I don't know if Joe Burrow has four career game-winning touchdown drives. You know who does? Drew Lock. That's about for Homer Fuldum for this year in the NFL. Now, at the buzzer, I want to talk about one of the worst teams in the NBA, the Memphis Grizzlies. But hey, they've got Ja Morant back now. They're at six wins without Ja Morant. Six and I think it was 19, 20, whatever it might have been. They weren't playing great. But now Ja Morant is back, and he had a great first game. Now, he might have a bad rest of the season, but he had a great first game. That shows sparks right there, because with Ja Morant, this is an elite team. This is a team that was the two seed in the NBA last season. They're great, everybody. Even though they lost to the Lakers, still a good team, in my opinion, with Ja Morant. But the thing that interests me right here is that last season, when Ja Morant would go down, I think they had a record of about 8-0 in games without Ja Morant. And they got suspended. Those are games where he was hurt. He got suspended. And I remember the narrative always being, well, Ja Morant isn't great. That's why the Grizzlies are doing well right now. Because it was a thing where Ja Morant was out for about 2 weeks. I think it was either last season or the season before. And they beat the Thunder by about 73 points. I think it was the largest win in NBA history. Then 2 weeks later, Ja Morant comes back and they lose to that same Thunder team. So the narrative is starting to be created. Can the Grizzlies win without Ja Morant? Looks like it. Can they win with Ja Morant? We haven't seen that yet. Well, now, without Ja Morant, the first 25 games of the season, they only had six wins. Marcus Smart was not a leader for this team. Desmond Bane put up 25 points per game, but still, something was missing. Maybe it was Steven Adams, maybe it was Brandon Clark, because they're both out, but it was really Ja Morant to put it all together. So say what you want about Ja Morant without this team, that they're better. I don't agree with that narrative. Narrative was always going on in Green Bay Packers, sure, football for a second, that they were 5-0 in games without Devonta Adams. Wasn't that they were better without him? They just found ways to win. They were getting lucky. Grizzlies aren't better without Ja Morant. They're just finding ways to win without him. So now with him, can they make a playoff run? Can they climb back to 500? Ja Morant, great first game. 7 points at halftime, 27 second half points, and a buzzer beater over one of the best teams in the NBA, New Orleans Pelicans. That's about for At the Buzzer this week. Now, best loss question of the day. This week's question is, who is the best team in the NBA? Is it the Clippers? Is it the Celtics? I think it's the Bucks. Who do you think it is? Who is the best team in the NBA? In your opinion, leave your answer in the comments. That's my question of the day. That's part of Squirt Sports and Lane Frank, episode 150. Thank you for tuning in. It's been a great year on Squirt Sports. Thank you if you listened, watched, viewed anything, even a minute of any episode this year. Follow Squirt Sports on Instagram at Squirt Sports, giving you daily content, even through this little 2-week hiatus we're going to have until the end of the year. Follow Squirt Sports on Twitter for more updates. Follow Squirt Sports on TikTok at Squirt Sports. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. That's about episode 150. We'll see you next year. Squirt Sports fans, that's about episode 150.